You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome into the Gym Class for a Wednesday, the final day of the month of March, coming your way here on KGYM. Scott Unash with you, buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side will be joining us coming up in a moment, as we got a good show coming up for you. One more time with Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer. We'll wrap up the college wrestling season, look ahead to 2021-2022. As far as the Hawkeyes, the state of Iowa college wrestling is concerned, we'll talk about that with Mark. We'll have our baseball predictions for 2021, Mark and I. Not Mark Ironside, Mark Dukes and I will. And a whole lot of college basketball talk. We've got a Final Four set for both the men and the women, as we will talk about that. And it does not include a Big Ten team once again. 319-366-1600 is the text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. And that is our phone line as well. Same digits again, 319-366-1600. Thanks for tuning in. 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, KGYM's mobile app, and your smart speaker as well here on this final day of the merry month of March. April comes up tomorrow. April Fool's Day, what have you. Mother Nature kind of throwing this isn't even an early spring type day. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Certainly an interesting evening last night of college basketball. And are you an April Fool's guy? Do you pull pranks? You don't strike me as a guy that does.
No, I really don't do that.
I'm not good at it.
No, that's the one thing. I'm not good at it either. If I was good at it, maybe, but nah, I don't want to be that, and I don't want to be mean to people. So, well, it's just my prerogative. If you like doing that, so be it. And tomorrow is your day.
Well, I chunk wedges too, so there you have that.
Hey, who doesn't? Who doesn't? Hopefully we get a chance to do that coming up this weekend a little bit. As we look ahead to things. But as mentioned, got a good show. Mark Ironside will join us coming up one more time. And we'll also have baseball predictions, a Bowling Night America preview. As Bowling Nights in America or Bowling Night in America's? Bowling Nights in America? Bowling Nights in America. They're coming few and far between now. We're getting down to the precious few this year, Mark.
Yeah, and I haven't missed a beat. But yeah, a month left, and the Rusty Nails having a good season. More about that at the tail end of the show.
More about that coming up. 319-366-1600, as we mentioned. And more, of course, as far as what we talked about a lot yesterday, and that is the fact that the name, imaging, and likeness continues to percolate a little bit. Not going to spend a whole ton of time on that today, if you will, but it does not sound like the legislature is going to be debating it if a whole lot, if any. So whatever that means, come to your own conclusions about that out there. We do have basketball news to talk about. First and foremost, Mark, this broke after you and I were off the air yesterday. And that is the fact that Jack Nungy announcing, not surprisingly, I believe, that he is going to be entering the transfer portal, and he is going to be looking for a new home to conclude his college basketball career. Of course, Jack has been through injury after injury, including the latest knee injury sustained during the Big Ten season that put him out for the rest of the year. Of course, the untimely passing of his father, just at the start of the campaign this year. And I don't think it was any surprise at all, really, when this news came out that Jack wants to go somewhere closer to his family, closer to his mom. And I can't imagine a scenario where he just doesn't get a step in and play next year.
Yeah, and you can't begrudge Jack Nungy for his move into the transfer portal. As you outlined, he's been through a lot with injuries and the untimely death of his father. It's a lot to go through. Unfortunately, we all go through it at some point in our life. But he's going to be moving back to Indiana. He's from Newburgh, Indiana. And I suspect he'll land somewhere, probably quicker than later. You know what the closest D1 program is to Newburgh, Scott?
Oh, I do know. I do know indeed.
That'd be Evansville, coached by Todd Licklider.
And it wouldn't shock me if Jack ended up at Evansville. It really wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, hey. I'm not suggesting that's going to happen. I have no evidence that it's going to happen. But if he wants to play closer to his home, that's the closest D1 program. And I'll just conclude on Nungy by saying I don't think we really got to realize Jack's full potential because of all the injuries and whatnot. We saw some terrific games. There's no doubt about that. And he certainly would have been, I think, a shining star next year on this Iowa basketball team. But not only does Nungy need to search, but I think Fran McCaffrey has to search as well, because he's got an inexperienced postman who only played in, 15, 16, 17 games last year. Is the portal the answer? Is Fran McCaffrey comfortable with what he's got? I think you got to examine that portal pretty closely.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in on that. Again, 319-366-1600. And, yeah, what's going to be the makeup of this team as far as next year is concerned? Iowa has, of course, Sanford coming in from Waukee for next year. That is one person that will come in, will play, but he is not a center. Iowa's going to be without Luca Garza next year. We know that. Still don't know about Joe Wieskamp's future. Really still don't know about Jordan Bohannon's future. Although with the news reports coming out, my guess is that we've probably seen the last of number three in a Hawkeye uniform, but that remains to be seen. There are still rumors to the effect about a couple other Hawkeyes and the transfer portal. Just rumors at this point, but we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But Nungy was going to be, he was slated to be a starter next year. There's no doubt about that. I don't think Jack was going to be the back-to-the-basket type of guy for 95% of the ball game that Luca Garza was going to be, but he was going to bring a little different element as far as that post position was concerned. You've got, of course, the freshman this year, Ogundele from England, that played sparingly, still a project out there as far as the Hawkeye class is concerned. And, it's going to be a lot different looking Iowa basketball team next year. I don't think there's any, I think we can all agree as far as that is concerned.
Yeah, a lot of questions, and perhaps Fran McCaffrey will play a different type of style with a lot of wings and guards. But I still believe you have to look at that portal. And for whatever reason, I'm really hung up on this Harar kid at Penn State. I think he could – listen, you're not going to find another Luca Garza in the portal. You're not going to have a Luca Garza drop out of the sky into your program next year. And I think Fran McCaffrey certainly has come to grips with that. Iowa fans should as well. You just need a productive guy in the middle there. And Harar averaged 9 points, 9 rebounds. Really tough kid at Penn State. There are other more prolific scorers in the portal, many of them attracting a lot of attention from high-profile programs. But it's really going to be interesting to see what Fran McCaffrey does.
It is. 319-366-1600. And this team is going to be a lot more perimeter-based next year. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Whatever happens. And I'm with you. I think it's Fran probably is going to have to dig deep as far as the transfer portal is concerned. Matt in Fairfax weighing in. Iowa basketball might be in big trouble. No Luka, no J-Bo, likely no Wieskamp. And if transfer stuff comes to fruition, you got to question why. I guess a little, but I don't know, Matt, as far as 2021 is concerned. I mean, it's almost the cool thing for the kids. Can I say that? Buttons, can I say that? I did, okay. The cool thing is to get into the transfer portal and to try to find a new spot. I don't think in most cases, I think it's more of a playing time issue. And I think it's just, hey, this looks like something I wanted to do. And maybe I get a shot to play at both schools I came down to. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. It's a lot different than it used to be as far as transferring is concerned. We know that.
No doubt. And then there's kids like Jack Dungey who have different circumstances and different reasons for entering the portal aside from playing time. So, yeah, it's almost become vogue. If you have any inclination whatsoever to leave your program, that's the trend. I had a good friend of mine I talked to frequently, wanted to know what the portal was, what that looks like. I couldn't describe it to him. I just said it's like an online clearinghouse for kids that want to transfer, right?
True. Very true. And
I can't describe it.
No, it's just there. It's like a fifth dimension. If you will. Not to get musical or anything like that. Maybe a sixth dimension. I don't know. But yeah, it's out there, and it's just re-recruiting guys you may have once recruited out there. And it's going to be interesting to see. It's at its height. It keeps getting more and more popular each year. Well over 1,000 athletes in it right now as far as college basketball is concerned. And this is even before possible NCAA legislation as far as allowing one free transfer is concerned. But basic, aren't we down to almost the point now, Mark, where it is one free transfer? Because I cannot recall anyone who has had to sit out. I mean, whatever the reason may be, good or bad, there haven't been a whole lot of people that have had to sit out as of late.
No, I think you're absolutely right about that. And the other thing I think about is why is it so prolific in men's college basketball? You don't see it as much in women's. You don't see it hardly at all in wrestling. You certainly see some in football. I just wonder why it's so prolific in men's college basketball.
Wrestling guys want to come back.
Yeah.
They want to come back. 319-366-1600. Speaking of wrestling, we'll talk to Mark coming up in just a little bit and wrap up the college wrestling year for 2020-2021. And, we got the Final Four, and with that in mind, if you want to check out the latest NCAA tournament updates, you can go to kgymradio.com. Of course, we got our I'm On Bracket Challenge going on. And we're down to precious few as far as that is concerned. $500 in cash is going out to our winner following the final buzzer of the tournament. And find out more by going to our website at kgymradio.com for doing that. You've got, it's a pretty typical Final Four, Mark. You've got three high seeds and one Cinderella in there. Although UCLA is not really fitting the description of the Cinderella. Very much underseeded were the Bruins. Congratulations to Cedar Rapids native Tiger Campbell, Mick Cronin, and everybody at UCLA as they took down the one remaining lone Big Ten squad last night in beating Juwan Howard and Michigan. Although I will say Jalen Rose got about as much airtime as Juwan Howard did.
Yeah, he did. And one thing different about this Final Four is that there's no team east of the Mississippi involved for the first time ever.
Yep.
A lot of that has to do with, you know, no Duke. Villanova got knocked out. North Carolina, no North Carolina.
Kentucky.
So on, Kentucky, so on and so forth. But that will be different. Gonzaga is going to be a heavy favorite. In fact, a poll question today at kgymradio.com has to do with the Bulldogs. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement for sponsoring the poll question. Scott, would you bet against Gonzaga at this point? Yes or no?
Has been 45 years since we've had an undefeated champion. Keep that in mind. But the way they played yesterday, I do not know how you can come up with a conclusion to this Final Four that does not have the Bulldogs cutting down nets on Monday night.
Well, a lot of folks, myself included, expected a more competitive game last night against Southern California. It just wasn't the case. Gonzaga got off to a big start. Drew Timmy was tremendous, albeit annoying at times for some people.
Yeah, what is with, we got to have a basket and then we have to have a stylish little exhibition after everything? What is that? What is that?
He can back it up, Scott.
Well, I know he can, but I don't like to see that.
He is terrific, and so is Gonzaga. And I was disappointed in Michigan. I really was. I think a lot of people were. A 51-49 game. I didn't see that coming. I thought it was going to be a lower scoring game, but you got to hand it to UCLA. They've caught something in the bottle here, and Michigan had so many chances to take the lead and win that basketball game, and it just proves a point. Whether you're a number one seed or a number 11, if you don't bring it on a given night, you're going to get beat.
Make a layup.
Yeah.
Michigan. Yeah, hats off to UCLA. That's a good team, not a deep team. Six, that's about it. When Riley got into foul trouble, their sixth man got to come in. They've had great individual performances each game, UCLA has. And that has propelled them. And poor USC, Gonzaga was just toying with them. Didn't it seem that way in the first half, that they were just like a cat with a mouse playing with the Trojans last night?
Yeah, and a lot of easy layups, high percentage shots, terrific passing team, stole the ball a lot last night, and that created some easy situations as well. Gonzaga plays like that. My answer to the poll question is no.
No. I got a feeling it's going to be Gonzaga and Baylor coming up on Monday night.
Yeah.
Nothing against Houston or anything like that. I just don't know if UCLA has it in them one more time. Hey, great run by the Bruins coming out of the first four, second team to ever do that besides VCU and Shaka Smart's team of several years ago. Keep in mind, UCLA had to go to overtime to win over Michigan State in that first four game.
Right, right.
That's how close the Bruins came to not being, not only not moving on, but not getting to the Final Four. And Mick Cronin's dad being there, that's a very good story as well. But can Gonzaga finish this thing out and be the first team since Bobby Knight's Hoosiers of 1976 to go unbeaten through a college basketball season? And they've played most all their games, too. They didn't come into this tournament playing 18 games or so. They're going to have over 30, and they're getting things done right now. Baylor also looked really good in their particular ball game. It's an interesting Final Four. Your thoughts, welcome at 319-366-1600. Yeah, Nate Reavers, he's going into he is in the portal as well, 5786. Would he be? Can you see Nate Reavers playing for the Iowa Hawkeyes? I can't.
That's a good question. I mean, there have been plenty of players transfer within the conference. He'd be a help, I think. There's no question about that. Another couple texts here. 1424, in terms of the transfer portal being more prominent in men's basketball, apparently so anyway, it's because those kids come through the AAU circuit and the mindset of my kid is going to the NBA. They are a product of AAU basketball parents.
I'm going to leave that one alone. I'm just going to gloss over that one. Youth sports has been the greatest thing ever for high school and college sports in this country. It's also probably been the worst thing for college and high school sports as far as this country is concerned.
Yeah.
That's my blanket statement right there. It's a lot like the internet. Greatest thing ever invented, Mark. Also the worst thing ever invented. 319-366-1600 as we come your way at 25 past the hour of 3 o'clock. We might circle around, talk a little bit more basketball. We got some baseball to talk about as well, but we got to get a hold of Mark Ironside one more time and talk with Mark and wrap up the college wrestling season. We're going to do that coming up next. So stay tuned for the Hall of Famer coming your way next here on KGYM here on this Wednesday edition, the final day of the month of March. Thanks for joining us. Back with more after this.
Wall's a new look and get 11% off all paint now at Menards. Zinsser Smart Coat is an advanced paint and primer in one. It features an ultra smooth coverage with an exceptionally washable finish. Pick up a gallon of flat paint for just $21.98 after 11% rebate. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through April 3rd. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
The tournament is down to just 4 teams, Baylor, Houston, Gonzaga, and UCLA. So if you've been watching from the sidelines, now is your chance to get in on the action. FanDuel is hooking you up with exclusive 40-1 odds on all 4 teams left in the bracket, even the favorites. That's right, new users get 40-1 odds on any team to win this round. You can win $200 on a $5 bet, even if you bet on Gonzaga or Baylor. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and make your first deposit to unlock the exclusive 40-1 odds. The app is so easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with promo code KUHN so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
All across the nation, we are here for our communities.
We're doing our part to get supplies where it's needed in order to fight COVID-19 together.
It feels good to be out there to assist our community.
I would like our friends and family to know that your National Guardsmen are always ready and always there.
Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Thank you, Buttons. 27 past the hour at 3 o'clock, gym class for a Wednesday coming your way here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us as tonight. It is it's a rarity as of late. No live sports coming up tonight. Enjoy your ESPN radio coming up this evening. Right after Todd and Alex at 6 o'clock, and a reminder about their program, the 5 o'clock hour each weekday is brought to you by Lender Tires. Lender Tire Service with 3 locations in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. They're open and ready to help you with your car, truck, or van, whether you need emergency service or regular maintenance. Stop on by, find out more at kgymradio.com. Big thanks as well to Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt, of course, has been a big wrestling backer and sponsor of ours and Mark's and, everybody down the line. Wyatt Schultz and just loves talking about wrestling and hearing wrestling talk. And going to do it one more time this year with our friend, the Hall of Famer Mark Ironside, who joins us here on the Wednesday edition of the program. And how you doing? You getting back into the norm here? You're kind of coming down from the big high of the national championship.
It seems like everything kind of goes in sync, where as soon as you come down off of something, something else ramps up. There's never really any downtime, which is good and bad, I guess. But, hey, we're coming off a national championship, so that's freaking good.
Indeed.
Mark, we often start segments with Spencer Lee, and rightfully so. A couple pieces of news there. He had to pull out of the Olympic trials because of his knees, presumably. But he did share the Hodge Trophy with Gable Steveson. You were the first Hawkeye to win the Hodge Trophy. Is that in your house somewhere or what?
No, actually, that is down in my parents' basement.
Oh.
But they have a replica in the Jefferson trophy case.
Yep.
Coach John Hagerty, who's the man, he went and made sure that happened and got a replica and put it in there. And I don't really have anything in my house. So if anybody listening wants to rob my house, my house, you're not going to find a whole lot, except for maybe a couple deer heads and elk heads. But as far as wrestling stuff goes, I don't have anything. My parents were, they kind of had a trophy room down there for my brothers and myself, and that's where everything still sits. So that's where it is.
What about Spencer then?
Where's his at?
No, what about his pulling out of the Olympic trials and sharing the Hodge?
I don't really honestly know anything about him pulling out of the trials more than you guys do, what I read. I haven't talked to Tom about it or anything like that. I'm not surprised, to be honest with you. That's kind of a lot. Winning a national title, not taking anything away from Spencer, but that's a whole nother, that's a much lower level of competition. That's not to always be said. I mean, sometimes winning, a collegiate Division I national title, heck, you're wrestling the same people that you're going to be facing in, the Olympic, in world trials, but that wasn't really the case in Spencer Lee's weight class this year. I think you get up into the Olympic trials, though, and that's a whole nother, level of competition. And I think that's, tougher, and it's going to be harder on his knees. And I just don't think that you want to go into everything kind of prepared. And I just don't think they could prepare for something probably quite like that. As far as him winning the Hodge and sharing it with Gable Steveson, I hear a lot of people balking at it, I can understand it sucks to share anything a lot of times, but I think they're both viable candidates. I think they're, I think it's a good thing. I think it was hard this year because there really wasn't a full season. I mean, I don't know how many matches Spencer had, like 12. Gable Steveson had like 18. Spencer's, bonus point percentage was like 92%. Gable Steveson's was 86. So they're both extremely, extremely high. But also, Gable had more matches than Spencer. And also, Gable Steveson had, pretty stiff competition, being the number one, two, and three ranked guys in the country, the Big Ten and in the Nationals. And Spencer didn't have that, that level of competition. So it kind of all evens each other out. And I can see why, they picked, both of those guys. I understand that Spencer was an enormous fan favorite. But that's also, Iowa wrestling fans, voting versus Minnesota fans. And there's, way more Iowa wrestling fans out there than Minnesota fans. So I can see why they do it. I don't really have a stake or claim either way.
It was interesting. Before we leave this, Gable Steveson had put out a tweet that was really hard to kind of figure out, because he thanked everybody, and he said, "I don't know what is next for me, what the future is, but I really want to stay. I love Minnesota. I love the Minnesota wrestling program." It was just a very oddly written tweet that he put out. I couldn't really know what to make of it.
Well, that's very interesting. It's the first I ever heard of it. I don't have Twitter. I have an account, but I never go on it. I couldn't even tell you how to get on it. But so I don't see Twitter, but. With that being said, I mean, you got that, open transfer portal. Maybe he wants to be part of a national championship team. Maybe he's looking at something different. And, whether that's Penn State, I don't even want to say Iowa, because the next thing it's like, oh, my God, he's coming to Iowa, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I have no clue, zero, zero, zero clue. Maybe he wants to go down to Arizona State, they got a good heavyweight there as well too, but maybe he wants to go somewhere where it's going to, really increase his training partners at the world and Olympic level. I mean, that whole new, you know, open transfer portal, that opens a whole other world of things to kind of look at and do for these collegiate athletes. And so maybe he's shopping around a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, sorry, 3025. Gable Steveson. Yes. Sorry. It's easy
it's
to put,
hard to say.
It's easy to put the N in there.
Right. I need an N in there.
Yeah. It would help us out, wouldn't it? A whole lot.
My daughters correct me on that all the time.
That's what they're for, right?
Yo, Dad, it's not Stevenson. It's Steveson.
Mark, before we move on to other subject matters, what about the composition of the Iowa wrestling team next year? It appears that all, if not most, are going to be back. Kemmerer still has not decided. Is it going to be much more of the same? Any fresh faces? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much, you know, nothing's changed since we had Tom on last week, and he was pretty open about that and talked about it. And there's a lot of things that need to be figured out there, but it sounds like everybody but Kemmerer's coming back at this point. I think it's a situation where, you know, he has an opportunity to graduate. He'd go out and make a lot of money right away. His body's getting beat up. I think it's a situation where they're definitely trying to get him to stay. And then they're going to work around. I think they're willing to work around. Like, you know, maybe, you know, if it's a full slate schedule that next year from the very get-go in November through March, that's a lot on a guy that's going to be in his seventh year of college. And, you know, so maybe he doesn't, you know, wrestle 50% of the matches and kind of gears up for, you know, the postseason and doesn't wrestle a full slated schedule type of thing, you know, and saves his body a little bit, and they change up the workouts and practice for him and, you know, do some different things and offer some different things there for him. So I sure as heck hope he stays. The way I look at it is, you know, you got the whole rest of your life to go out and make money. I think that if he would stay and win another team national title and have a great opportunity winning an eluded national championship, I think that would mean the world to him. I think at the end of the day next year, if he would stay and win that and be part of another team championship and win an individual title, I think that he for sure would sit back and say, you know, this was definitely the right decision. So, I mean, that's just kind of how I look at it, being older and, you know, been in the workforce and just kind of look at what those guys are looking at. So, I mean, you're only young and you only have youth for so long. But I think he's also doing the right thing and not just committing to being, yeah, I'm coming back right away or I'm not. I think he's continually to weigh his decisions. He's letting some time pass and really kind of sort things out and think about them. And I think he's being very smart about it. And that's a tribute to Michael Kemmerer and the kind of person that he is.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. A few texts coming in. 9896. Mark asking who from Hawkeye Wrestling Club athletes will be at the Olympic trials besides Brooks. Do you know?
I don't know. I mean, we're kind of shorthanded there right now. There's a whole slew of them that are going to be coming here shortly, you know, once upon graduation and so forth. But right now, as far as I know, just Brooks. So.
Okay.
Well, former Hawkeye Thomas Gilman is there as the number one seed, but he's part of the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club right now, I believe.
Yeah, he's part of the Penn State Nittany Lion Wrestling Club. He jumped ship as soon as, you know, he jumped ship, you know, and just didn't really want to be in the same room with Spencer Lee is basically probably what it came down to there and hear a lot of different stories and so forth or whatever. But I think that's the bottom line is kind of what it came down to. Corey Clark, I think he's still got a banged up shoulder, so I don't think he's ready to go. Lugo lost last weekend. He was ahead and then he ended up losing in the finals of the last chance. He looked great the whole tournament, looked great in that match, ended up getting pinned. He was ahead and ended up probably hanging out in a situation way too long, and he got turned over and put to his back and pinned. So kind of unfortunate for him that it ended that way because he had such a great tournament going on and a great match.
Yeah, certainly did. Looking ahead to next year, we know what Iowa has. What about the rest of the Big Ten? Going to be as tough as always, but is there a team that, besides maybe a Penn State, that's you're looking at that might be a team to reckon with a little bit next year?
I think for sure. I mean, you just go back and you look at, like, pretty much it's going to be a ditto of 2021. I think that Penn State's going to be a contender. I think that we're going to be the favorites. I think that it's going to be very, very similar to this last year where we're going to have to really stub our toe and and really not perform very well. And then Penn State or somebody else, but probably Penn State's going to have to really, really wrestle well like they did at the national tournament in order to, you know, kind of overthrown us. And, you know, I mean, this year, it's like I said, I think in the hotel room that day when we were down there in St. Louis and I just got there and we're doing the show of the week of the Nationals. You know, the thing, great thing about the Iowa wrestling team and program right now is we're so deep and we're so balanced that even if we lose, you know, one of our top guys here or there, like exactly what happened to Alex Marinelli. Nobody ever thought in a million years that he was only going to score 4 points for us and it basically went two matches and then he's done. Well, that happened and we still won the tournament by how many points? 15 points or something like that. So it's just, you know, we're just going to be so hard to beat. I mean, we really, really are. And Penn State's going to have to really, you know, come out and be strong. And, but the other thing, though, is too, is this open portal stuff. That's a game changer too. I mean, you never know what Penn State's going to sneak on into there. You never know what the Iowa wrestling program could bring in. You know, you don't know. You don't know what Ohio State, you know, Nebraska, you know, can make them contenders, or Michigan for that matter. I mean, the Big Ten's loaded. If one team gets just one more really good, solid guy, I mean, if Penn State brings in a 49 pounder and all of a sudden he's an All-American next year, that's a game changer for him. You know, they didn't take a 49 pounder this year. So it's you just never really know. But as of now on paper, Iowa's definitely the team to beat. And Penn State, I would say, would be a second, and then followed by a Michigan and a Nebraska and Ohio State kind of all falling off the ladder there.
Mark, name, image, and likeness is in the news quite a bit these days. The Senate is taking it up, or maybe not. Maybe it will die. Supreme Court justices heard arguments in a case, NCAA versus Alston, today. Jordan Bohannon fanning the flames there. He's going to meet with legislators tomorrow, and Mark Emmert of the NCAA. It's a complicated issue, and I wanted to get your take on, should these kids make money and off their name, image, and likeness while they're in college? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, wrestlers can do a camp and get paid for it, right?
Well, legally they can, yes, but they have to, you know, I don't want to say jump through hoops. That's probably not the best situation or scenario, but they got to be, you can only be, and I don't know what the rules have changed since I left there, but you have to prove that you weren't just showed up a clinician and showed technique and left. You have to be kind of like, a portion of it has to be spent on working as basically as like a camp director. You have to do other things in the camp other than just basically be a clinician. So you have to have other roles in the camp, and a percentage has to be, you can be teaching and so forth or whatever. So technically, yes, and legally, yes, they can do camps and clinics, but there's a lot of stipulations that goes along with it, which has really dropped down the amount of camps and clinics that these student athletes can participate in and partake in these days. You know, as far as the, you know, the name and likeliness thing, there's pros and cons to it. I personally, you know, call me old school, whatever you want. And I mean, I was an athlete. Would have been great to make all kinds of money off of my name. Holy smokes, heck yeah, I've been freaking awesome. But at the same time, I'm not really in favor of it. And I say that, that's me being a former student athlete. I look at going to college as, you're going to college, as they say, you know, a student first, an athlete second. Which, did I honestly go to college to be a student first and athlete second? No, I went to college. I went to the University of Iowa Wrestling to wrestle for Coach Dan Gable and Tom Brands and Terry Brands and be part of a traditional program and win national titles. And that's how it was for me. But at the same time, I went there to do that, to win national titles. I went there to do that because I loved the sport of wrestling and I have a passion for the sport of wrestling. I didn't go there, you know, and that's what sets me probably apart a little bit different maybe than somebody else. I didn't go there because I wanted to make money down the road off of my name and doing camps and clinics, or I wanted to make money off of shirts and so forth or whatever, you know. I didn't go there because that's where I was offered the most money. I was offered other places way more money than what I got offered Iowa. But I went there because that was the best place for me to win national titles and do something that I love. After collegiate is over, college is over, if I wanted to stay in wrestling and go and do all the camps and clinics I wanted to, I wanted to make my own T-shirts and with my name on them and sell them, which I did, I can do that all I want. I made all kinds of money doing that after I was done in college. But when you go to college and you're on scholarship, I think that that's, you know, I don't like to say you're part of, as these guys make it sound like you're basically, you know, a pet of the NCAA. You're owned by the college. I don't look at it that way. If that's the case, then you know what? They should get rid of all scholarships. There's no scholarships. There's no tutors. There's no training tables. There's no none of that. If it's just pure where you want likeliness and name, then you go there and you do whatever you want for your likeliness and name. And the college makes money off of you with their gates and concessions and so forth, but you also don't get any kind of scholarship at all either. You can't, to me, the way I look at it, you can't have both. And that's how I look at it. I mean, if you're good enough to go to college and you get a scholarship, then that's where you're getting paid by the college to be there. Now, granted, they may make a lot more money off of you being there than what you're getting paid for your scholarship, but that's just how I look at it, whereas, I mean, that's just part of the deal. I mean, that's how it's been and how I think that's fair. I guess that's me. Now, a lot of people will argue me to the moon and back about that, but that's how I look at it.
Mm. Well, if I can follow up, Scott, and Mark, you're a perfect example of what some folks don't understand, that if you're an Iowa star, what you did and the exposure that you got, the minute you walk out the door and enter the business world, you got a leg up because of your name and what you did. And I'm sure you've seen that. You know, you're not John Doe apparel, you're Mark Ironside apparel. And the same can be true of Jordan Bohannon or anybody else in that regard, right?
For sure. I mean, it carries on over. And if you did your due diligence and you went to college, you did all the right things for the right reasons, then it'll carry over further on in your everyday life in the business world or whatever you choose to do, you know, down the road. I definitely have a leg up, like you said, but I still have to prove myself. I can't just have, you know, crappy customer service every single day and so forth. I mean, I got to run a good, well-rounded business and be, you know, as well as a person and so forth or whatever. But you can definitely have gains further on beyond college if you do the right things in college and you put the time, the effort, and hard work and determination, and you're disciplined into those days to make, you know, things later because of that the school is no longer making you as much money on and so forth. But, you know, there's all kinds of different ways to look at it. And I just didn't go to college or even think about going to college for making money down the road. That was never, ever even crossed my mind, not one single time. I went there because I wanted to wrestle for Dan Gable and the University of Iowa and win national titles and be a buck kicker and a crowd favorite. And that's what was fun. It was fun. And I was doing it for the love and the passion of the sport. And then once you get out of that, whether or not, even if you're wrestling, we unfortunately don't have an opportunity to go make money like professional athletes, but now you win an Olympic title, that's 500 grand plus all the endorsements that you can possibly think of. And you can make a lot of money these days that I couldn't before when I graduated from college, but they are now. And you're getting, you know, endorsement deals and so forth or whatever, which is fantastic for the sport of wrestling. And then if you're basketball, go to the NBA, football, go to the NFL, baseball, go to the, you know, Major League Baseball. And it goes on and on and on. I just look at that as professional. That's for money making. Right now it's for, because you have a love for the game.
There you go. One final question, Mark. Dealing with the trials, 98-96, asking, will Dake finally be able to beat Burroughs?
I honestly think so, yes.
Okay.
I do, and that's not that I want Dake to win. I just think that he could. I think he will. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see. Dake's been nipping at his heels. Burroughs is getting up there, man. He's like 33 years old now, and he's getting up there. And I love the guy. He's an unbelievable competitor. He's a great representative for the United States. But I just really, really wanted him to win that last Olympic championship, and he didn't do so. And I really wanted to, just because I love the person he is, the competitor he is. And now I think it just might be a little bit past his time. But at the same time, I'm not counting him out. I'm definitely not counting him out, because he is an unbelievable competitor. But I just think Dake is as well, and I just think Dake might have a little bit too much on much for him right now. But I definitely could be wrong. I could be, you know, eating crow come Saturday.
We'll see. We'll see. Hey, Mark, thanks. Great year. Hopefully next year I'll have you back here in the studio with us, and that's even more fun. So on behalf of Kurt and everybody here at the station, thanks. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot for having me on. Thanks a lot for, you know, supporting the sport of wrestling and all the listeners out there as well, too. Thank you so much. I can't believe, you know, I go, you know, around places, whatever, and people say, oh, yeah, here on the radio show and the gym class and stuff. And I'm just blown away by the amount of listeners out there. And if it wasn't for those guys and people like Kurt Gustafson, we wouldn't be able to have this. And I really appreciate it. Something that we have here that's really unique and cool here, you know, in the state of Iowa and in our area. So thank you to all you guys, and appreciate it and look forward to next year as well, too. And come catch us at the track, Scott.
Yeah, we'll be there.
We'll have the Late Model Out and Legend Out both this year. So Friday night starting May 7th. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Talk to you soon, man.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Mark Ironside joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM for this Wednesday edition of the show. We'll take a break, come back. We got Bowling Night in America preview. We're going to have our baseball predictions real quick as well when we return after this here on KGYM.
Okay, your bracket is complete. Now it's just waiting for the tip-off of the next game. So need a Cinderella story while you wait? Well, grab an ice-cold Coca-Cola and Quick Star's hand-breaded fried chicken. Yeah, not only the perfect meal for the tournament, but one that might just win you a trip to New Orleans to see next year's national championship. Purchase any 20-ounce Coke product with your rewards card and you're automatically entered. Any package of fried chicken, another entry. Purchase both together. 10 bonus entries. No purchase necessary. Quickstar, we got you covered.
From the gridiron to the nine iron, experience the thrill of the game anywhere in Iowa with Elite Sportsbook. You can now sign up for Elite Sportsbook on your phone anywhere in Iowa and receive your first bet risk-free, up to $500. Just visit EliteSportsbook.com to create an account, and your first bet is on us, up to $500. It's time to play your game with Elite Sportsbook. For a limited time only, valid only in Iowa. Must be 21. Visit EliteSportsbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league,
but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. T-minus four, a Bowling Night in America, and time for a preview, and it's brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. A marquee matchup on lanes 31 and 32, I guess, coming up tonight, Mark.
Yeah, for sure. Rusty Nails in fourth place and facing one of the teams just ahead of it in the standings and Durline scale. Always a tough opponent. It's a big big night for the Nails tonight.
It is. Go up against the Durlines and everybody, and Mitch Golden and all the folks, and Kevin Klein and everybody. Looking forward to rolling against them.
Yeah, it should be fun. And if you're interested in any open bowling or summer leagues, the pro shop, give May City Bowl a call, 362-0136, or you can always visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
By the way, did you see how many 300s there were in the major the other night? I think four or five.
Every other person.
Holy smoke! And the record for the women's record that was broken about a week ago. Did see that. Lane Lafleur wrote about it in the paper. But congratulations, I believe Nancy, her name. I was trying to think of the name and talk at the same time, which doesn't always work too well, as you can hear.
Brooke Post.
Why did I say Nancy? Away, yeah. Okay, very good. Congratulations to Brooke. I don't know where I got Nancy from, but at any rate. Congratulations to her. Baseball starts tomorrow. We have the Twins and the Brewers at 12:30 on 107.5 FM. The Jim OT coming up tomorrow for you as the major leagues get started. And Mark, our usual venture down a road we should never go down, and that is trying to predict a 162 game, we hope, schedule and season as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. And we're going to do that very quickly here. We'll start with the American League. We'll just go with who we like in each division. East, who's your pick?
I've got the Yankees, but watch out for the Blue Jays.
Okay. Now, we're going back to the old playoff formula, by the way. So are the Blue Jays a team that's going to make the playoffs?
They will make a wild card, yep.
All right. I have Tampa again winning it with the Yankees with the wild card. How about the Central? Here's what everyone's waiting for.
This is a coin flip until your White Sox knock off the Twins. I got to go with Minnesota. Call me a homer, but the Sox will make the playoffs. And look out for the Royals. I think the Royals may not contend, but they're going to be a lot better.
Okay. Well, call me a homer because I'm going with the White Sox. How about the West?
I got to go with the Astros. Angels may be nipping at their heels. We'll see.
I have Houston winning it. And I tell you what, there's something about the Angels. I just think they may jump up there and get a wild card this year. So we'll see. How about the National League East?
It's the toughest division for me. I think it's going to be a phenomenally competitive division. I'm going to go with the Mets adding Francisco Lindor. But the Braves are very good. The Phillies are very good. I'll have the Braves in the playoffs as well.
I have them switched, but I have them both in the playoffs. I have the Braves winning the division and the Mets coming in second. How about the NL Central?
Everybody's picking the Cardinals, but I'm going to go with the Cubs.
I'm going.
And one of the main reasons is three of their stars are in their last year. And I think they may put up some terrific numbers. I don't think Schwarber's absence is going to amount to a whole lot. I'm taking a flyer in the Cubs.
Not enough pitching. I'm going to go with the Cardinals. West, Dodgers?
Yeah, no brainer. but the Padres, they were playing at a high level in the 60-game season last year. They were on pace to win 100 games. Whether they can do that over 162, we'll see. But I've got the Padres in the playoffs as well.
So do I, Dodgers and the Padres. Who represents the American League for you?
That'd be the Yankees.
Okay. I'm taking Tampa.
All right.
I'm taking Tampa. Everyone will love a Tampa Bay Ray World Series. I have the Dodgers in the National League over the Braves. Who do you like?
I do. I have the Dodgers and the Dodgers to repeat.
All right. I have the Dodgers to repeat as well. That'll make John Bonenkamp very, very happy. So that's there you go. Baseball predictions sure to go wrong. So what? The Detroit Tigers to win by 5?
Yeah.
And the Milwaukee Brewers and the Reds to fight it out in the National League Central. Take it to the bank, as they say. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall see how that all plays out. Tomorrow on the program, Kevin Lehman will join us. We'll talk about the transfer portal, other things, the Final Four, maybe more college basketball coaching changes. We'll see. We'll talk with him tomorrow. And Blake Bolden will join us from the Drake Relays. Drake is back this year as far as the Big Blue Oval is concerned. And only one day for the high school events this year, but the other events will be going on. So we'll get the complete rundown and what they're expecting with Blake coming up tomorrow. And then on Friday, Dan Shanka of Our Lad Scouting Service. We'll talk NFL draft coming up with you as well, as that is closer and closer, about a month away for the NFL draft. So looking forward to talking with Dan on Friday. Todd and Alex coming your way next. Mark, we'll try to do everybody proud tonight.
Yes, all marks tonight, fellas, and enjoy the baseball tomorrow.
We will. We'll enjoy the baseball. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum